Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Oh, good morning to everyone. How many realize that there's no old people in this building?
Yes.
It's a bunch of youngsters in here. I mean, we may have white hair or no hair or whatever you see yourself, but you're still young, right? Well, today, as you can see, this is a very special day. We're having a baptism, and the majority of those that are getting baptized are young teenagers, okay? And all that to say is that there's always a newness coming throughout our church, and we just thank God that He just doesn't keep us, quote-unquote, old guys going. There's always newness coming into his kingdom. And so if later on, as we progress through the service, if for some reason the Spirit moves in you to rededicate your baptism again, we have no problem with doing this more than once, okay? I know most of us have been baptized at one point in our lives, but there's always that time that, kind of like I always look at it like, you know, I had my 25th wedding anniversary, and we renewed our vows. We had our 50th, and we renewed our vows. All that to say is that we would do it over and over, with God. Okay, it's just once again restating that you are just where you want to be, in love even more. I felt that way when I was on my 25th anniversary, and even more in my 50th. I love my wife more today than I did when I married her, and I hope that you love God, you love Jesus more today than the day you met Him. His love for you never changed. He loves you more. He loves you as much today as He loved you back when you didn't even know Him. Okay. But what's happened within us is that we've gotten to know Him, and there is no way we can walk through this life without that love that we feel from Him, that we got to give it back. And so this is really what this is about. You know, like I say, I'm using this baptism as just another way of showing where your heart is. Okay. And we love God. We love Jesus. We love His Holy Spirit working within us here. So if for some reason through the service you decide, you know, I want to get rebaptized, then please just, I'll be standing out there. You let me know. Come and give me your name, and I'll write your name, and we'll put you on the list. But there's quite a few people coming today to do this. So we are really, really blessed for this, okay? Lord, we love You. We're here this day, Lord, to know You even more, Lord, through the Word, through the worship, through just the fellowship with each other, Lord. Thank You for those that today made a choice to be baptized, Lord. I ask that You would just lift them up, Lord, that as they come out of this this water, Lord, that newness would be in their lives, Lord. Great expectation, Lord, that all that Your creation would seem more real and more beautiful, Lord, because of what has taken place this morning. Thank You, Lord, for every person that is here this day, Lord. We just bless what You're going to do this day, Lord. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We ask that Your Holy Spirit would just flow, would just come upon each person here this day, Lord. Have Your way with all of us, Lord. Let us just know, Lord, that You are here, Lord. We thank You and we pray this in Jesus' name. We say amen. And you can stay standing as we go into worship.
You know, God's He's just never done. And that's the thing, is that we gotta know that what He's doing and what He's working is always for good. That it doesn't matter what we see around us or what's going on or what's happening. happening, that he's doing it again in our lives. See, that's one of the awesome things. Even though I've known God since I was little, because of my parents pouring into our lives, he's always doing something new. It doesn't matter how long it's been. He's always speaking, he's always teaching, he's always giving more. And see, it's what he's wanting to do in all of our lives all the time is, let me do it again for you. Let me show you what you got. A situation going on at work? Great. Let me show you that I'm going to do it again. You didn't just get one thing in your life and now it's done. No, he's working all the time. See, it's a continuous work in our life. There's always something that he's speaking to us about, something that he's giving us, something that he maybe wants to give to people around us through us. Whatever it is, he's always working. There's always something new. There's always something more that he's got for us. It's why diving into the word and being in there all the time is so important, because he knows who we are even when we don't know who we are. He knows the gifts he's placed within you even when you know that gift's not even there. That's the thing. He pulls things out of us on a regular basis as we go after him. It's why it's that equipping, right? Like, okay, I'm going to speak to you on these things, and you're going to maybe be in this area in your life, but you will see how later, how he's equipped us for more of what's coming towards us. See, we serve a powerful God, right? That's the thing. I've been in, like, my readings have all been in, like, Matthew right now, because I'm back there. And it's just been doing... I've read this book I don't know how many times. But just going through it, it's like a whole new book. And that's the thing, is that's what God does, right? Because as he's going through these things and he's walking with his disciples, there's a whole new light in it for me, where I'm looking at it from a completely different perspective, right? Of, man, these disciples walked with him on a regular basis. How cool, first of all, would that be? Because that's like my first thought, right? Is how amazing would that be? Like the blessing that they had and being able to walk with him, right? But then at the same time, it's just so amazing to me that they saw Jesus do these things, miracles, on a regular basis, but would still let things like fear and just emotions and all of that completely derail them from what God was trying to show them. You know what I mean? And it's common for what happens in our own lives, right? And it's just made me have such an appreciation, because as I look at my life, I go, God, you have taken me through so many situations. And that's the thing, right? Is that is still, that's still him walking with us. See, we can have that thought of, oh, how cool, because they walked with him, but he's still walking with us even now. That's what's amazing, is that we don't have to go through somebody. We don't have to go somewhere else to get to him. He's with us. He's in us. And he's always wanting to give us something. He's always wanting to pour into our lives. He will reveal so many things. And that is him walking with us today. See, you have blessings. You have things that he's going to work out in your life. He has things that he's going to do. And as you do them, and as you pour in, you'll begin to see how it builds in your life. How it just continues to give you more and give you more to strengthen you, encourage you, give you the rest you need, give you all of those things. See, that's the thing, is the word is not just words. There are things we're actually supposed to put into practice in our lives, which is why we have a hard time a lot of times thinking, oh, I'll I'll bring you by the streams of living waters where I'll give you rest. And we never take that rest because we don't realize it's in his hands. See, those things that he gives us are for us to actually take hold of. Not just words in a Bible. They're things that we can see manifest and come forth in our lives. It's that fruit coming forth in our life, right? As we take it in, as we put it in our lives, we actually are obedient and listen and do the things that God's saying. It comes forth. Those fruits come forth. And that's where we get our joy and all of the things that he's wanting to place within our lives. And it's where we see that even in situations that we don't understand, we have rest because of what he's given us already, because of the things he's already showed us, the promises we're already standing on, the things that we already know that we can look forward to because of who he says he is. He tells us we're victorious. So we gotta start knowing we're victorious, right? We gotta start knowing that he's working it all out. It doesn't matter where you're at or how bad you think it's gotten or how low you think you are. He is working it for an uplifting, for a good thing, not a bad thing. He's setting you up for blessing, not for to just leave you there.
Miracles. I have had two miracles the last 2 weeks with great granddaughters. One was born 2 weeks ago. One was born on Friday. Their parents are God-loving, young parents, and these babies will be so loved for and brought up in church. Now, on another note, we've been praying for my sister Terry that has lung cancer. She started her first round of chemo 2 weeks ago, and she said it about killed her. So she's opted not to do any more chemo. They have now found something in her liver. And she's given it all to God. They'll be moving from California back to their home in Texas come the first of the year. And they have a real good cancer facility, MD Anderson there. So she's just going to take a course and try to stay as healthy as she is. Half of her hair's already fallen out, and this girl had some really thick black hair. So if y'all could just keep her in prayer, keep them lifted up. And I just can't say enough about this church, y'all. I know we don't have no new people here, but it's a blessing to see these youngsters baptized. And they just need to remember that once you have done this, the devil will be after you, girls and boys. They will be fighting for you. But you keep your feet grounded. There's plenty of people here to talk to if you get in some kind of situation or whatever. People at school that know you got baptized might hassle you about it. But you just keep looking up and looking to God, and he will keep you in his arms forever. Amen.
Oh boy, here we go. Try and keep it together. I want to give glory to where it's due. So I've been dealing with lies for the past couple of months of medical providers trying to put certain diagnoses on me. And this last appointment that I went to was supposed to be to establish a stage of something and treatment. And so when I went in there, they could not find anything. They couldn't explain it, of course, why they weren't able to determine what my treatment would be, but I knew. And, you know, I kept talking to my husband and just asking why. And if some of you know, I lost my mother to breast cancer in my mind, but that was her healing. She worked, she served, and she served her purpose here. What she wanted was to be with Jesus, and that's what she was given. To me here on earth, she was taken from me. I was upset at God. I separated myself from Him. But this man right here and his family, he was my youth pastor, so let's age him real quick. But his prayers and his love and unity of those that prayed over me brought me back when I wanted to be as far away as God, from God as I could. But when I was faced with the situation, I found myself on my knees telling Him, Lord, I have 4 children. And I learned that I went through this because I needed to be reminded who I am and what my purpose is, and it is to serve Him, and it is to raise with my husband those 4 little children. Amen. So they can do the same. Yes. So I'm just so blessed, and I'm so grateful, and you know, it opened another door. It helped my faith. It ground my faith again, right? And it opened another door for friends that said, I had one of them say, well, the universe has a greater plan for you. And it opened that door to say, no, you know what? It's God. And, you know, so that door's open. And then I have other friends that just, oh, well, you know, that's good. It's opened that door for me to witness to them. And, you know, it also, I see it brought strength in my children as well. Because it shows me that my husband and I are doing the right thing. Because when I told them, they said, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So I wanted to share this, and it's good to listen, y'all. When God says, say something, because last Sunday I was supposed to, but I didn't listen. But listen to Him, follow Him, and never, never lose, you know, that. We're going to lose it. We're going to feel our flesh, and we're going to go that way because it's just, it is what it is, right? But if you're brought back and you can reflect on it after and you can say, oh, that's why you did that, God. That's why you do it. That's why you're working in me. And I know His plans are great. And I know there's more to come. And I'm so relieved and I'm so grateful. And I thank you all. And just don't lose hope. Because that every situation, God brings us through it for a reason. And as long as we just go back to that and see why and thank him for that situation, because I can see how it just turned everything around for me. So I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a real short one, but if anybody has ever lost anything that's kind of important to them, and you've asked the Lord to help you find it, you do find it. So I just want to give the Lord praise and worship for what He did for me this week. And He even used my husband to help me. So thank you for that, too. Well, the story goes like this. I have sunglasses, prescription sunglasses that I wear, and I wear these sometimes. So, I mean, when I'm most of the time. But so I had my sunglasses on, and I had these hooked right on my shirt, right? My dad always says, wear them on your face. And he's so right, you know. So somehow along the way, as I changed my sunglasses to my other glasses, I lost these. And these are like a lifeline to me. And having cataracts, the surgery this week is, you know, it's going to help a little bit, right? But the Lord's going to heal my eyes. I know He is. And so anyway, I lost these glasses. And I was frantic, and I was looking all over the place. And then I thought, Lord, please help me. You know, you feel desperate. And so I looked and looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And I had looked everywhere I had been. I retraced my steps like 3 different times. You know how that feels? And you feel like, oh no, what do I do now? So I just went home. I scrapped the grocery buying, and I got back in the car and I just drove home. So I got home and I was tearful, and I was telling Terry, I lost my glasses. And it's like, okay. And I said, you know what? I'm going to leave it in the Lord's hands, and I'm going to just go take a nap. That's what I'm going to do. And so I was napping, and the Lord spoke to him and told him, they're in the car. And I'm like, I wish I'd have heard that. But anyway, so he went out in the car, and there they were, face up in the back seat on the floor. And I know I looked there, and this thing had to be supernatural, because I seriously looked there. So he goes in and he picks him up and he brings him in, sets him on the counter. I wake up from my nap, and the first thing I see is my glasses on the counter. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how all that works, but praise God. I give him all the credit. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Terry.
Hello?
Yeah. Good morning, church. I can talk loud. Three things. Speaking of things lost, I've lost glasses. I've lost my whole wallet, debit card, phone. And when I prayed about the phone and the wallet, okay, I was like, I can't drive. I can't go anywhere. So the Lord showed me in a dream. He said, you're going to have your hand out. You're going to be sitting in a pew, and somebody's going to walk by and put them in your hand. I like say, what? You can't do that, Lord. I've got a worry. I've got a stress. Where is it? It's got my debit card. Help me, Jesus. My driver's license. So went on to church. And I'm sitting there. And an elder walks by, says nothing, puts my wallet in my hand. And I about dropped my teeth. They're mine, but you know what I'm saying. I was in shock. And come to find out, I'd left it at the gym. When I left it at the gym, someone went in my phone, found where I had in my contacts, Elder Hills, contacted Elder Hills, took it to Elder Hills. Elder Hills brought it to me, and I was sitting in the center of God's will doing what He wanted me to do. Thank you, Lord. Saying, hands open. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to stay in perfect peace. Number two, I have lost my glasses before, and thank God. Again, the fitness center, and I had inside my case, I had encouraging words, and after desperation, couldn't find these glasses, went up there, and they said, we had them, where are they? And they said, did it have a little note in it with encouraging words? I said, yes, those are mine. So they searched high and low. They found my glasses, glory to God, twice. Number three, when I was baptized as a kid or as an adult, I didn't fully understand. I thought it was water. I thought it was a ritual. I thought it was pleasing man. So at this age, my husband and I decide to be baptized again. And I just kind of let all religion go. And I just said, Lord, I went through all the steps, but I come out of the water in doubt. I went through all the steps going, God, I got to strive. I got to work. So I'm a preacher's daughter. I got to be perfect. And when I came out of the water twice, I felt nothing. Well, recently, I'm going to choose a different opinion from the other lady about baptism. I went in so heavy laden, so human, so flawed. Sins and just arrogance and hypocrisy and religion. And I let it go down into the water. And when I came up, I left it there. It's a personal choice. And when I left it there and I stood up, there was still burdens on my shoulders. And I just cried like a baby. And I'm like, you know what, Lord? It's all in your hands. The power is in the blood. You're saying, I obeyed. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And the pastor's wife, because she saw me heavy laden, I said, Sister, can you sing a song? And she sang something basically like, peace, peace, sweet peace, coming down from above. And I just felt his peace come over me. Then I gave my testimony to the ladies, and they gave me a certificate. And I said, this time, my name is written in the book of life. Nobody's going to take this from me. I am saved because of what Jesus did, not what I do. And I and then lady, my husband was baptized. We were in total obedience, totally washed whiter than snow. We're not going to listen to any voice, and we're not going to please man. We're going to please God. That I held up my certificate. I said, my name is written in the book of life. And they clapped, and the whole thing was a lot of them just like you guys. I couldn't look them in the eye. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel worthy of the blood of Jesus that washes, and takes the past away, lets us live for today, and is excited about tomorrow. So I say over those young people that they will glow in the dark. And the home, the school, the neighborhood. I say people will come to them and then say, why are you so happy? What has changed? I say over those young people that they will say, I am different. I am born again. I am new. I will not look back, and I will not listen to man and be tempted by the kids my age. And I know my name is written in the book of life. I pray this through Christ. Amen.
Hello. Once again, I didn't plan on coming up here. I had no plan of talking. I was like, I am, no. But the song again, miracle after miracle after miracle. And here we are having a baptism today. Yep. My husband is a miracle. My husband's not here, so I felt like this is a good time to get up and share this. Because he's not here. My husband is a miracle. Amen. He got baptized on April 19th of this year. Uh-huh. I got baptized in August 23rd of 2001. Uh-huh. I wanted him to get, at that time that I got baptized, I wanted him to get baptized with me. And we were both raised Catholic. So he was like, I'm good. I don't need to get baptized because I was baptized as a baby. So I'm good. I don't need to. So year after year, prayed. And every time there was a baptism, I was like, gosh, Lord, could it be today? Would it be today? And here he's not here today, but he's already baptized. And praise the Lord, he got baptized in Madeira Canyon. Woo! In the creek of Madeira Canyon. Wow, what a miracle that was. What a miracle. I didn't even see that coming. On April 19th of this year, he is a miracle. I've seen a transformation in my husband since then. So if anybody is ever in question whether they should get baptized, or if they haven't, or if they want to do a renewal, my husband's changed. I can just tell you that. Since he's gotten baptized, he's changed. kind of amazing that he'd be embarrassed if I were talking about him this much. But it's been a miracle. I've seen a change in him. So if there's anybody in here that's wondering, it's not a ritual. Change will come. It has come. My husband is a miracle, and that's why this song brought me up here, is miracle after miracle. So my husband's changed. Our marriage is changing. Things have changed. It's just a miracle. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you.
Change in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. Things are changing. Can you say amen? How many know it's time for our nation to change? Is that right? Come on, man. I believe God's going to do something great. Amen? Amen. I mean really great. I've been praying for years that the whole Supreme Court get laid out. How many say amen to that? Hey, start praying that with me. Can you say agree with me? Lord, move in on them. Come on, Lord. Come on, you can do it. God, can God do that? Oh, you bet he can. I know you will, too. Amen? Hallelujah. Excuse me. Praise God. Hey, I better get to preaching because I got some baptism to do. Amen? Praise God. Like Pastor John was mentioning earlier, we really do believe that you can. I mean, it's not just a one-time thing to get baptized. You don't have it doesn't have to be. I've had people tell me, well, you know, Jesus only got baptized once. You're right. Jesus only got baptized once, but you know, how many know that sometimes we do have problems? Can you say amen? Yeah. Sometimes we have. How many know that. Sometimes habits, nasty habits, bad habits, are hard to get rid of. Yeah, and because the Bible says that the old man has to die. Talked about that last week a little bit. I might talk about it again today. But because that old man has to die, it's a symbol. It's a symbol. You're standing up, you're alive.
Yep.
You go under the water, you die. You come back up out of the water, you're resurrected. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a symbol of what Jesus did. His life, death, burial, and then the Father raising him again into new life. And sometimes, you know, how many know sometimes I've never felt like this, but sometimes somebody make you mad and it's hard to forgive them. Can you say amen to that? Anybody ever had anybody like none of y'all, huh? None of you ever had somebody where every time you saw them in Safeway, you want to just turn around and go the other way.
I'm honest.
Come on, man. That's the old man. Or for you ladies, that's the old woman. And it's time to, and God, I really do believe, last week's sermon and this week's sermon, I do believe God is after us to put that guy down. Can you say amen to that? Take up your cross is what he says. Oh, hallelujah. Take up your cross. Yeah, that's what he says. To take up your cross and follow me is what Jesus said. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, hey, let it go. Woo, follow him. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about a character I like in the Bible. And if you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And I love this story. And it's a miracle. Miracles after miracles. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, yes. Even if you don't like the way I sing, say amen. There are miracles after miracles. Can you say amen? How many of you want to see more miracles? I want to see it. But how many know miracles are not what save you? How many know that?
Yes.
It's not miracles that save you.
Jesus.
It's Jesus. That's right, Aaron. Yeah. Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to see this character here today, how he gets saved. Amen. I love it when God just comes in. Can you say amen? That's why I'm telling you, I believe that God can just fill the whole, the nation's capital. That his spirit could come in to where they can't even stand up. Do you guys remember that? That happened with Moses. That happened with Solomon.
that the Holy Spirit just come in, and they call it the kabod of God. I like even the way it says, the kabod of God. I like when, and I said, Lord, send your kabod into that building, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even the ones that think they know you, come on. Yeah. Can you say amen? Need to know. I mean, pray. I mean, hey, is that an easy prayer today? God sent to the Supreme, to our nation capital? Send your kabod, God. That's an easy one. Easy to say. Send your kabod, God. Let the weight of who you are, Lord, rest upon those guys and change some minds, change some hearts. Can you say amen to that? Oh, hallelujah. I believe, folks, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Can, how many believe that? That's the word of God. Pray is what God said. All you got to do is pray. Believe me, pray. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, man. I better get going. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And Saul, look at this guy, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. How many say amen? Yeah, I mean, how many know that the apostle, well, I mean, he was no apostle then, but Saul was doing what he thought was right. He was so much into what he was doing that he goes, you know what, I'm going to go get them, I'm going to arrest them. I'll do it myself. He was so upset about the believers. He says, man, these guys, man, they don't know what they're, I mean, I'm going to go after them. And Saul, he went, and you know those Jewish leaders, the ones that just got through killing Jesus? They said, dude, we got our man here. Yeah, hey, let's send him out there. Yeah, go get him, Saul, go get him. I love it. And as he journeyed, he came to near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
That's not good enough. Say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. Say it with some suddenly.
Suddenly.
Yeah, when you're telling your friends about this story, just say, and suddenly. That's the way God comes on you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Suddenly. Hallelujah. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Man, I love this. And I love the language that's being said. It's hard for you to kick. Anybody ever poked you with something? That's it. They kind of, I mean, you know, like my granddaughter, she has to poke her finger and get blood out. And they call that pricking your finger. You prick your finger and get the blood out. And here Jesus is telling, hey, bro, you're getting poked. Can you say amen? How many like getting poked? You're going the wrong direction. You're going to get poked. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you that Jesus will poke you if you're doing something wrong? The Holy Ghost will say, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's good about it if you'll listen. Hallelujah. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when he opened his eyes, when eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. I'm sure that Saul was a prideful man. I'm sure that I know what I'm doing. I'm going to get it done. Nobody else is going to do it. I'm going to get it done. And now he's being led. Can you say amen? There's a humbling thing that went on with them. These guys heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. Saul had what he had, what was like scales on his eyes in this ordeal with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Could be God saying, I'm going to put some scales on your eyes because, brother, you're looking at the wrong thing. Can you say amen to that? How many ever looked at the wrong thing? Anybody ever looked at the wrong thing? Come on. Hallelujah. Whoa. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I love Ananias' response. Can you say amen? How many know it's good to say when the Lord tells you to do something, just say, okay, I'll do it. Here's Ananias' response to what God just got through telling him. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. You think God didn't know that? But the Lord said to him, Go thy way. And listen to this, folks, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way that you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And immediately, everybody say immediately. That's kind of like suddenly, right? Yeah, but immediately, is it? And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and arose, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Isn't that cool? Miracle, man. This is a miracle. How many know that when you got saved, it was a miracle? Some of you bigger than others. Can you say amen to that? Big miracle, Miles. Yeah, come on. And chickens, all that heard him were amazed and said, Isn't this he that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem and came here for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Verse 22 says, But Saul increased more and more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to do what? Kill him. Amen? Yeah. He had radically changed. There was a radical thing in his life. Can you say amen to that? How many know? How many know that God, I titled this sermon,
Well known.
Thank you very much. The title of the sermon is Well Known. How many of you know that you're well known? You see, let me just say this to you. Paul, the guy that was giving him so much trouble, Saul, he's well known. Can I just tell you this, that God designed him that way? Can I just tell you this, that God, since he was a little boy, began to work in his life and build him for this event. Can you say amen to that? for that to happen on that day on the way to Damascus. Hallelujah. There's a word, and I just love this. And before I say this, how many of you know all of you are well known? And I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul the Apostle, who used to be Saul, but Paul the Apostle is talking about children of God, and he says things like, make sure that you act according, like a Christian would act. Can you say amen? Don't do it just some days and on other days just forget about it. He says, because we are called of God to do a work in the earth. And how many of you know that? You're called. Randy, you're called, bro. Sean, you're called. Come on, man. We're called to do this work. And in there, he says, but do it willingly. He says, but you are unknown, but very well known. Can I just say this to you, that God knows you better than you know yourself? Can you say that? God can see things that you haven't even thought of about you. Can you say amen? He has purpose and plan for you. He has destination. He has predestination, if you will. If you will listen to him, if you will just go after what he's telling you. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, so check this out. There's a lot of translations don't have this part in the scriptures, but I just want to bring this verse up. And it is still in Acts. It's this chapter. It's verse 5 of this chapter. Acts 9, verse 5. Just want you to look at it. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And then he says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And in those days, this is a farming word. It's called an ox goat. How many know what an ox goat is? It's actually, I would have brought my ox goat, or not my, I would have brought Rosie's ox goat, but I forgot it, but this morning. So I'm going to use a pencil. Is that okay? Yeah. Actually, an ox goat is something that when they're plowing, that maybe that ox just decides, I don't want to go anymore. So this is kind of this is kind of what the farmer does. Does everybody get that? Pointed stick for a flank, and the ox, ooh, yeah, let's go. Takes off again. Maybe he wants him to turn a little bit. He can goad him that way with a pointed stick. This basically is what Jesus was telling them. It's hard for you to kick against this thing. Let me just. Ox goat. The Hebrew word is malmad. Malmad. Everybody say malmad. Look at your neighbor. Say malmad. M-A-L-M-A-D. It's an instrument fitted with a nail or a sharp point. Literally means the thing that teaches. Teaches. Can you say amen? The thing that teaches. Oh, boy. Rosie really doesn't have an ox goat. I mean, I would be the ox, and guess what? Yeah, no. It's the thing that teaches. It's the thing that pushes in a certain direction. Here, in the Amplified, verse 5 says, Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, to offer vain and perilous resistance. It will turn out bad for you. Why will it turn out bad for you if you keep kicking against that goat? Because it'll hurt. It's going to hurt you. Can you say amen? How many know? Can I just say this every once in a while? God has to do something that will get our attention. Does anybody know that? He will get your attention. Amen. He'll poke you. Amen. Maybe it'll come via pastor's word, what I'm saying to you. You're getting poked. Is that okay? Yeah, I'm glad you said yes, because that is okay. Or maybe it'll come by a good friend of yours that say something to you that you didn't like, and it poked you. Can you say amen? What is God doing? Can you say amen? Check out this word. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Look at this word. Verse 11 says this. The words of the wise are as what? What's a goad? The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Does anybody know who the masters of assemblies is? It's the Lord. He is the master of all these things that he's created. Can you say amen? Huh. The words of the wise are as goats and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from what? From what? One shepherd. How many know there's only one shepherd? Yes. Can you say amen? Yeah, I'm supposed to be. I mean, pastors, yeah, we're shepherds, but every shepherd on the earth should be pointing their people to the great shepherd. Can you, the only shepherd? Can you say amen to that? You need to hear from him. Something's going on in your life. You need to realize that you might be being poked with a goat. Not goat. Goad. Poked with a goat. Because God's desiring to move you. Yes. Some folks won't move. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know I could be talking to someone and my wife, Rose, Henry, move. Oh, okay, sorry. You know, some folks won't move. God's saying, I need you to move. I need you to move with me.
Yes.
I'm going to take you somewhere. Can you say amen to that? Because he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows where he wants to take you. Can you say amen? How many know exactly where you're going right now? I'm going to have lunch afterwards. Yeah, man. And tonight I'm going to have dinner. But folks, we really don't know. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We have to trust him for where we're going. When I came out of First Assembly, I have something that's in my heart that I said, I never leave anywhere unless God tells me to go and he tells me where to go. So I was leaving the last day there. I'm leaving. I said, well, God, you haven't told me where you want me to go. You told me to go, but you didn't tell me where. And as I'm walking out the doors, he said, give this guy a call. Call David Swift. And I called him, and so God sent. I mean, I was sent by God into that place. I don't just pick up and. How many of you know people get mad, and they said, well, you know what? Because they got poked by a goat, and they say, I'm never going back to that church. Whatever. Them people are mean. Can you say amen? So they leave on their own, not by God. Sometimes God's saying, look, hang out there a while. You might learn something. I'm trying to teach you things. Can you put this scripture up in the TPT? No, it's not in the TPT. Can you put it up in the Amplified? Look at this. Just check out. Words of the wise are as goads as nails fastened. The words of the wise are like prodding goads. And these collected sayings, the words that God talks about, firmly fixed in the mind. Can you say amen? Can I tell you, some of these words that are firmly fixed in your mind are, they keep you from doing things. Can you say amen?
Right.
They keep you. They stop you. Why? Because you've learned something. Can you say amen? We got to be learning something out of everything we're going through.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah, I hope that's okay. I was in Bisbee and I was preaching, and I was had a youth group with me, had music, they were playing music, and the sermon that I was speaking, I thought this sermon was for the whole city of Bisbee. Because, you know, and it says, if you do not repent, I will remove the candlestick. That's what this sermon was about repenting. What you doing? Can you say, how many know it's good to repent?
Yeah.
Is it good to repent?
Yeah.
when you say something wrong to somebody, is it good to say, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, and you go over and talk to them? Is that good? Yeah. I mean, because God's prodding you probably for saying it. Can you say amen? And so I'm saying this, I'm speaking, and halfway through my sermon, the Lord told me, it's not for Bisbee. It's for this church. I didn't know what to say. It changed my whole perspective in my head. I'm thinking, sinners, right? And God was saying, no, it's my people. We had like four people helping us this weekend. When we had like 15 to 20 young people down there doing music in the middle of a park. Preaching out there, we were told by a lady who was screaming profanities at us, shut it off, shut it off. And then the police came, they said, hey, we got a phone call, said you guys were too loud. I said, okay, we'll turn it down. He goes, no, turn it up. He said, people need to know. He said, we've got a 78% drug use in our high schools. Turn the music up, bro. I said, yeah, come on, man. The authorities have spoken. Can you say amen? Yeah. Come on, man. So the Sunday morning, I was doing this Sunday morning, and I'm preaching, and the word was repent. If you do not repent, I'll remove the candlestick. Four people had helped us, and then when we were having service, it was packed full. Thought it was, hey, this is cool, man. You really got this many people in here? Yeah. I thought the only people they had was like four folks. So when all these people showed up, oh, God had a message for them. And I was holding it. Can you say amen? When this pastor was helping us like crazy, driving us food and help the kids find a place to sleep. And so when he said, this is for this church, it's not for Bisbee, it's for this church. I said, God, I stopped preaching, and I called one of the young people. I said, can you just get up here and sing your song? She sang a song. She could sing real good. And I went to the back of the church, and I'm standing, and I'm saying, Lord, I can't say that. That pastor helped us. He was so helpful, and I love the guy. I can't say that to his church. I didn't discuss. And I can hear that girl. She's coming to the end of her song. The Lord hadn't said anything to me. I just said, I can't say that. But then I said this to the Lord, I won't say it. I felt whatever anointing I had, because folks, I can tell you, I won't get up here without anointing. I will not do this because I can't speak without anointing. You're probably thinking, you can't speak anyway. I can't read. Yeah, you can't read anyway. But I was telling one of the young people, hey, man, I get butterflies like crazy. I feel like I could fly around the building before I get up here. But when I said I won't say it, it's like I felt every ounce of anointing just whoo. And I looked up, and she had finished the song, and I went up there, and I grabbed the mic, and I looked up, and I told Pastor, you're going to have to finish the sermon. And I handed the mic to him, and I went out and started hooking up a trailer, because we had drums and guitars. We had a bunch of stuff that we had to load up to bring back to. And I was back there. I parked the van. I was putting the trailer, hooking up the trailer. I was weeping. And I was telling God, I couldn't say it. I failed you. I failed you. I failed you. Failure. How many like failure? No. I don't know. And I just couldn't. I mean, I said, God, I'm sorry. I just couldn't say it. I wouldn't say it. Didn't want to say it. Well, here comes the pastor. He goes, that was a weird way to end a sermon. Let me do it. Oh, yeah. And he looked at me. He says, Henry, you need to tell me what the Lord said to you. I said, no, Pastor, I can't do that. I don't want. He says, no. I know the Lord said something to you, shut you down. What did he say? I said, well, Pastor, he said that unless the church repents, he's going to remove the candlestick. And I know who the candlestick is, it's you. He looked at me and he yells, Jody! It's his wife. And so she comes out, what? You know how wives are? You know, what? What? What do you want? She goes, go get me. Apparently, they had an evangelist there 3 weeks before. And he said, go get me that list. So she goes and gets the list, brings it back. He goes, read number six. I really can't remember what number it was, but he goes, read number six. And that evangelist had written down a bunch of things about Bisbee. But number six, he said this, it said this, if the church does not repent, I will remove the candlestick. You think I would have felt better, huh? It made me feel worse. I looked, I go, he goes, bro, should have just said it. God was sending a message, not to me, to the body. I'm sorry, I should have said it. I felt bad. We packed up our stuff, came all the way back over here. One of my youth leaders, his name was Ralph. He goes, Henry, you okay, man? I said, no, man, I'm not. I failed God, man. I don't know what to do about it. I just don't know what to do. I said, well, dude, you tell him you're sorry. I said, well, I did that already, but it doesn't make me feel any better. I mean, say amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Because I'll tell you, this was a real. It was something that was happening right now in my life, and I had no idea how to get out of it. I told Pastor about it because Ralph told Pastor, hey, he's not, hey, is that? And so next thing, Pastor's praying for me. Nada. How many of you know, when you're down, when you're in the bottom looking up, the only thing you need is Jesus. You need him. Men all around you, as much as they love you, my wife, as much as she loved me, could not bring me out of a sump. They just couldn't pull me up. I was supposed to go to work the Monday morning, and Rosie told me, she goes, aren't you getting up for work? I said, nope, I can't work. I can't do, I'm telling you folks, it was a heavy impact on me because I was so used to doing, running with the kids and preaching and speaking to them and doing my adult Sunday school over there. And I was just so used to it. And then all of a sudden God turned off my clock. And I don't know what to do. Rosie said, well, you better call him. You know, the mind, you got to call and check in. So I called him. Are you sick? Yeah. Liar. I'm heart. No, but I was heart sick. Well, I was laying in bed and I kept saying, Lord, I failed you. I failed you. And then the Holy Spirit said, Henry, look up 1 Corinthians 13 and read it. And I was reading it and right, I'm not sure what verse it is, but it said, love never fails. Love never fails. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Henry, the reason you didn't want to say it was because you love that man. You don't want to hurt him. He says, but behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, I was standing at the door. He says, I understand. And what was neat about it was he said to me, he says, I knew this was going to happen. How many know that these things are already known and planned by God? Do you guys know that? Because I needed to know, because what the Holy Spirit said to me, from now on, Henry, not your words, but mine only. When I tell you to say something, you say it no matter what. Ignore the faces, ignore the crowd. You're not up there for applause. You're not up there for accolades. You are there to deliver my word. And that's what I do. That's all I can do. I will say what God gives me to say. Even in these things like this, even like today, God is saying, if you're being prodded and poked, it's because he's doing something. Because never since that time, if you don't give me a word, I will not speak. I won't stand in front of that crowd. I will not stand and try to play like I've got. I won't try to make something up. Can you say amen to that? Because that is not God. When men stand up and preach things that are written down for them already, come on, man. That's not hearing from the Lord. I don't know how to. So we got to learn from our experiences. Can you say amen? Amen. And learn. You got to learn something. Did I mention you're well known? Did I mention that? You are well known. God knows you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says this. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that a nice verse? He's chosen you before the foundation of the world, and he wants you to be holy and without blame. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. If God's not going to blame you, can you blame anybody else? No. Can I tell you that the only one blaming anybody, the only one that wasn't blaming anybody in the garden was the serpent. He did everything he was supposed to do. Can you say amen? Oh, man, I'm going to shake your foundation here, bro. The only one that didn't blame was the serpent. He didn't blame anybody in there. He did what he was supposed to do. It's just Adam blew it. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. Next verse is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. You can read this. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. How many of you heard this verse before? We know that all things work together for good. You know, and isn't it kind of annoying when you're going through something really bad and they say, well, we know that all things work together for good. Shut up. You know? Is that right? Be quiet. I was supposed to know that, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Can we say amen to that? Hey, I already know that scripture. Well, it's true. Well, yeah, just be quiet. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And then it says this, for whom he did foreknow. See, you're well known. You were well known at the beginning, for he created anything. You were well known. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to who? What's his name?
Jesus.
Not like anybody else. I remember when I was growing up, I had a cousin living in my house, and he was real cool. You guys never had a cool person in your life? He was cool. He carried his cigarettes right here. He worked on cars all the time. I found myself talking like him. Anybody ever done that? You get so connected, and you feel like you're connected because he's so cool. And so, man, hey, guess what his name was? Henry. Hey, man, you're Henry? Yeah, it's Henry. Yeah, you talk like him. Sure don't look like he was a handsome guy. But see, we're supposed to be conformed in the image of the Son of God. Can you say amen to that? Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you. Yeah, you. Then we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He rang your bell. Can you say amen? Rang your phone. He called you. Them he also, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us,
who can be against us?
Yeah. Can you position yourself to what the Word of God is saying? He said, I called you. I predestinated. Yeah, you might get a little few pokes along the way. It's just that I'm helping you. I am teaching you. I'm bringing you to something. Can you say amen to that? I am building you and strengthening you. I am going to take you to someplace you never thought you'd go. How many say amen?
Amen.
You're going to do things you never thought you'd do. And be for his glory. His glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh my God. God is a wise master builder. Do you understand that? What he's building. See, folks, you could have been born in the 1800s. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Austin, is that right? You could have been on the ship with Columbus. or the Mayflower. A lot of people, their ancestors came over in the Mayflower. I said, that must have been a crowded ship with everybody that says it. But hey, he has called you. He's designed you for something. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Even if it's just shaking hands with somebody. Designed to play guitar. Designed to play with an anointing of God. Created with a creativity in music. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And see, he's got more for us than we even think, because he knows us. You are well known by him. You are well known by the Father. Hallelujah. So if God be for you, who can be against you? If he's designed everything about your life, if your steps are ordered by the Lord, who can be against you? What can be against you? There is nothing, folks, because your life is in his hand. Can you say amen? He loves you and he cares about you. But yeah, you might get a few goads. Because how many of you know, sometimes we don't just act perfectly. How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you need to know how to act. Yeah. I mean, what? And if they ask you, well, how's that? You say, like Jesus. You got to love folks. You know what long-suffering means? What does it mean?
Patience.
It means long-suffering. Is that just the way it says? You suffer a long time. Just switch the words. Long-suffering. Somebody is mean to you. Good time to be what? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Come on. If God can put up with us, can you say amen?
Amen?
If he can put up with us, he tells us to be conformed to the image of his son. Guess what? Don't just fly off the handle every time somebody stomps on your toe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if God be for us, who can be against you? That's a question. Can anything be against you? Can anything come against your ministry? Can anything come against your business, your workplace, wherever you're at? What can come against you? If God be for you, who can do it? It might look like it. It might feel like it. But guess what? If God gave it to you, nobody can take it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here's what James says. James chapter 1, 2. 3 and 4, and all of you know this one. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Let's just change it when different kinds of goading. Count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what?
Perfect.
And what does entire mean? All. It means complete. Perfect and complete. Right?
Yes.
And it says, wanting nothing. That's King James word for lacking nothing. You don't need anything. How many of you know with God you don't need anything? You might think you have lots of needs today. Can you say amen to that? But let me just say this to you. What you're thinking, you say, well, I got lots of needs. God is saying, hey, well, I'm your need. He is the total answer for total man. Can you say amen? So you might be totally complete in him. Can you say amen? Amen. So he takes you through a few stuff. Is that okay? So he sends you to the hospital. Is that okay? Nobody says nothing. Johnny, is that okay? No? So he sends you to the hospital and he tells you, hey, man, you got a bad heart, bro. Is that right? So you go to the hospital, what do they tell you?
Get out of here.
They said, basically, they said, who lied to you?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
There ain't nothing wrong with you, buddy. Get out of here. But on his way out, well, there's a lady that needs prayer. See, this is a praying man right here. This is a man who knows how to pray. And on his way out, he sees a lady. He said, can I help you? Can I pray for you? And he prays for her. Made her day. Because he got somebody that cares. Somebody that's loving. Brought Jesus all the way from Sahuarita or Sahuarita Road all the way just to open up, just so somebody could see a little bit of Jesus that morning. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. If God be for us, who can be against us? God says to you this morning, your steps are ordered by the Lord. He orders your steps. Be comfortable with it. Allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. Can you say amen to that? You are well known. Better, you are known. He knows you better than you know yourself. You are very, very, very well known. Unknown, but well known. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're gonna go into the baptism because it's getting time. I got 4 minutes to baptize 30 people. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So I guess the worship team's gonna come up and sing a song, and we're gonna get ready for this. And let me pray for you real quick. All right, Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that if you be for us, who can be against us? Father, allow this word to sink very deeply like a nail in their heart, Lord, where they would say, hey, God will take care of me. Father, let them realize just how much you care and love them. And that, Father, that you are not here to hurt them, but you are here to strengthen them and build them in what you're doing for this kingdom. We thank you for it this morning. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. If you receive that, say, I receive that. Is that right? Amen. Praise God. Hey, you can talk a little bit and worship a little bit. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.